Son, never stop learning.
You're beginning at Red Clay and River, where East Alabama's intertwined lives emerge. All right, I've been thinking about where to actually start with this, because the geography here does a lot of work before any of the human drama even begins.
Right, and that's the thing most people miss. When we talk about Russell, Lee, Macon, Tallapoosa, and Barber counties today, we're talking about what was, before Alabama statehood, the heart of Creek homeland.
So not empty frontier land. Not wilderness waiting to be settled.
Not at all. Think of the Chattahoochee River. It ran as a living corridor connecting creek towns across what became southeastern Alabama and western Georgia. The Tallapoosa River did similar work in the east-central region. These waterways were highways.
And the Creek people themselves, they weren't one unified nation with a single government, right?
Exactly. The Muscogee were a confederacy of towns, each with its own political identity. So when we say the Creeks, we're really describing a network of distinct communities sharing cultural ties, but not a single chain of command.
Mm-hmm. So where do African descended people fit into that picture from the start?
That's the key idea here. Creek societies included both native people and people of African descent, and the relationships ranged widely. Enslavement existed, yes, but so did kinship, marriage, alliance, and political cooperation. The historical record really shouldn't collapse all of that into one story.
So not a replica of the plantation system developing among white settlers nearby?
Precisely. Creek political and social institutions remained distinct, even as some Creek people did adopt certain slaveholding practices from surrounding colonial societies. The difference matters enormously for understanding what came next.
And the economy wasn't built around a single crop either?
No. Agriculture, hunting, livestock, trade, craft production. It was genuinely mixed. Now, that starts shifting as cotton pressure builds and white settlement pushes in through routes like the Federal Road.
Which sets up the collision. The Treaty of Fort Jackson in 1814 forced a cession of roughly 23 million acres. That opened the floodgates.
It did. And for everyone following along, the takeaway from this opening landscape is that the frontier here was already crowded, with Creek towns, with African-descended people in varied relationships to those towns, and with incoming settlers hungry for that red clay soil.
A meeting ground, not a blank slate.
Exactly. And in our next session, we move from the landscape to the law, looking at how the Muscogee people initially understood slavery and status in ways that were genuinely different from their European neighbours.